Today on Real Radio.
If there's a Delilah in your life, run from her. Don't talk to her. If there's a Mr. Delilah, don't talk to him. Run. Get out of there. Well, I didn't want, listen, I'm telling you real stuff. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, all of a sudden you care about a stranger's feelings when you're not caring about God's feelings or your family's feelings. Well, I didn't want to appear to be rude. They're going to kill you. Spiritually, get out of there, man. Run. And we've all seen it happen. It's a terrible, tragic thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16, where we learn of Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You remember in verses 1 through 7 that Samson had now run into Delilah. And this relationship was starting to take shape. And we just began to get into the parameters and the drama of Samson and Delilah, and all of you know that story. And we made mention that her name, do you remember what her name means? I'm wondering if you remember. Her name means someone who takes from you, or someone who, you could translate her name in Hebrew meaning expensive, costly, someone who could steal from you. Could you imagine? That's why I'm sure none of you tonight have a daughter named Delilah in your home. You don't go around naming your kids Delilah after this story. There's no way. And so Samson, though, had fallen in love with her. Before we get in deeper into this, listen, everyone, especially you young people. He loved her, it says here in the Bible, chapter 16. He loved her, but nowhere does it say that she loved him. That's a pretty lonely place to be. And he was, what, for whatever purposes or reasons, he was head over heels in lust with her or in love with her. We don't know. But you do know that Samson was one that had an eye for the girls. The very first words out of his mouth, we learned some time ago, was, I saw a woman, and he told his parents, get her for me. And this is a man who God had called to be a leader in Israel. But he was derailed, and he was sidetracked by his passions. And so, not a good thing. So, in your note-taking, jot it down. In this series, we now come to lesson number 10. Staying fit for the master's use, and here's what it is. Consecration, staying close to the Lord. And verses 8 through 10, this is what we learn. Staying close to the Lord means that we keep ourselves away from evil. You might say, Jack, that is so simple. Of course. But listen, too many of us don't do that. We fail at that. And we look at Samson's life and we must learn from this. It means that we keep ourselves away from evil. And we've got to come to the conclusion, church, that evil is not Satan dressed up in red underwear with a pitchfork and he's growling at us. That's not evil like what we're talking about. We're talking about the evil that is often missed in our lives. Things that come to us dressed up like good. Things that would trick us. Things that sound good, look good. Everybody, in fact, may even be saying it is good. But for you, God says no. And listen, people fall all the time because they'll either listen to what their emotions are saying or they'll listen to what the world is saying. Somehow they will be enamored or swayed by popular opinion rather than hearing the voice of God. And this gets believers into a lot of trouble. Samson is doing this business, putting himself intentionally into a dangerous situation, and he's not allowing himself enough room to recover. Because as you'll see tonight, as sin advances, as he plays with it, it gets closer and closer and closer to pulling him down. And that's how it is in our lives. You think you're getting away with sin for a little bit. God doesn't seem to be doing anything to you. I mean, even, you know, if God didn't want me to make it, then I guess maybe if he didn't want me to go to her house, my car would break down. You're tempting God when you're thinking like that, you know. Well, you know, if God didn't want me to see her, she wouldn't be at the drinking fountain there at the office. That's insane. Satan's smart. He's been around a long time. He can think stuff up and organize things. Samson is playing with fire. What you want to see is Samson run. Run, Samson, run. See Sam run. Can Sam run? Will Sam run? Sam doesn't run. And it's going to get him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness." The word flee, youthful lust, the word flee is where we get the English word to be a fugitive, to be running for your life, to be one that is escaping, on the run. The Bible says, run from youthful lust. And listen, everybody, the word doesn't mean if you're a youth, run from sin or run from lust. No, that verse is very, very powerful, 2 Timothy 2:22. It means that throughout all of our lives, no matter how old we are, we will be combating and contending with youthful lust. What is youthful lust? Insane lust. Crazy lust. Incredibly imaginative lust. When does it go away? It doesn't go away until you die. It doesn't stop. It continues on. And the Bible says, run from it. If there's a Delilah in your life, run from her. Don't talk to her. If there's a Mr. Delilah, don't talk to him. Run. Get out of there. Well, I'm telling you real stuff. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Oh, all of a sudden you care about a stranger's feelings when you're not caring about God's feelings or your family's feelings. Well, I didn't want to appear to be rude. They're going to kill you. Spiritually, get out of there, man. Run. And we've all seen it happen. It's a terrible, tragic thing. Where one thing leads to another. It was a simple conversation. It was just an email. It was a chat room. And it starts out like nothing. It all starts with a spark. A little flirtation thing. A little wink of the eye. A little too long at that thing with them. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise, that is striving and sweating, bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness is profitable in all things. We say, why do we quote that verse? Because Samson needs to exercise godliness and run. And we all need to be doing that. The Bible says in Acts 24:16, "This being so, I myself always strive," Paul said, "to have a conscience without offense toward God." Great verse. And then 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "Reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." What a powerful thing that is. Samson needs to run from evil. And you and I need to run from evil. Look, all of us in this room are confronted with evil every day. We can't even count how many times evil comes to our lives each day. You say, no, that's an exaggeration. No, listen, just in your head, think of the evil that comes in your mind, the thoughts. And it's not only the sins that come to us that are obviously there in thought or in deed, but what about the things that we are to be doing that we're not doing? Omission. We don't do them. It's all around us. By the grace of God, we need to stand firm. But listen, we have got to flee, be that fugitive. And Samson's not doing that. But we learn from his mistakes. And the greatest way to avoid evil is to love God more than going for that evil. Someone asked Golda Meir, longtime prime minister of Israel years ago. They asked her, when will this terrorism stop? And she said, terrorism will never stop until the Arab mothers learn how to love their children more than they hate us.
Amen.
That's a great statement. And now it's a world famous statement. Well, let's put it this way. Evil will not be successfully resisted in our lives until we learn to love God more than playing with that evil. We've got to love him more. Why should you not get involved in that thing? Oh, I should go do that. But why should you not do it? Well, because I love God. Didn't David say it? Didn't David say that this sin has been committed against my God? We need to see that you and I are Christians and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. God calls us to flee, and we're sinning against him. Yes, of course, sin will affect so many other people, but it affects God first. And when we love him more than our own self-pleasures, oh, church, listen, if we love God more than seeking our own self-pleasures, we would do well to love him more. We would excel. We would succeed. What happens is our desires get into competition with our love for God. And we begin to choose, be it public or in secret, something that we want to appease our flesh with. And in doing so, we love that thing, even if it's for the moment, more than God. What does it mean to stay close to God? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is what you and I need tonight. And we pray, oh God, put that in my heart, that I would hunger and thirst for righteousness. You won't have to worry about fleeing from evil if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Think about it. Is there somebody tempting you in life? Or is it something? To hunger and thirst for righteousness will put a damper on that temptation in a pretty powerful way. What proves that I'm close to God? Again, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a great word that is. How do I know if I'm close to God? There is a great sense of being poor in spirit. That is that great sense of, oh God, I cannot save myself. Oh God, I can't do anything to better myself. Oh God, I need you completely. You're never more close to God than at that moment in your life. Tonight, are you one sitting here tonight and you love God? You love his word. You want to serve him, or you are serving him, but you're so disgusted with your own self failure and your weakness. If that's you tonight, I'm with you. Just this constant sense of, God, you're so worthy of my absolute love. And even when I tell you that I love you, it seems so short and hollow. You ever felt like that? Oh, God, you're so great. What do you want with me, God? I'm blown away, Lord, that you would allow me to be in your family. Listen, you're close to God, and you're poor in spirit. And that's a good thing. Also this, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 8. Can I get any closer to God? Oh, yes. Always closer. But blessed are the pure in heart, Matthew 5, 8, for they shall see God. Is that not, church, listen, is that not the greatest desire of your heart tonight, to see God? I mean, just think, there's going to be a day when the believer, when we see him. You say, how's that going to be? I have no idea. I'm glad I can't explain it. Well, who are we going to see? I mean, is it the Father and the Son? We can't see the Spirit. Well, wait a minute. Apparently, somehow, we're going to be able to see the Spirit in some way, shape, or form. Because it says that we will see who? God. We will see him. And that is an awesome thing to realize. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Someday we'll be absolutely at one with him. And then how about this? How do I begin to get closer to the Lord? I'm wondering if Samson had any of those thoughts about what is this situation going to do with God in my life? Again, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are you a Christian tonight? Yes. Do you have desires in your life? Of course. Do you love God? Yes. Then how do you live a life that is going to be used by God, fulfilling by God, and be the best life for you to live? Number one, not on a list of 10, number one on a list of one. Seek God, the things of God, the kingdom of God first, and he'll take care of everything else. He will open the doors. He will do things. He'll get you through. And it's an awesome thing to realize. Samson is messing up. And he's allowing this evil power through this woman to come in. And how strange and how amazing that it's the temptation and the toying about with something like strings, yarn, something so silly. But it winds up eventually costing him everything. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, that you and I are to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, for no one engaged in a warfare entangles himself. Imagine, wraps up his arms, as it were, in the affairs of this life. And so he's flirting. I want to read this two passages of scriptures. It's very powerful, but I know on Wednesday nights there's younger people here, and you need to hear this. And even if you've read it recently, you need to hear this again. It's in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. It starts there. And this is, though it's thousands of years old, this should be given to every boy at probably the age of 12 or 13, and girls, I don't know when. But listen to this. I just know I should have had this at about 12 or 13 years of age. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, call her Delilah, if you will, or insert someone's name in your life, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Is that not true? Hey, are you guys alive tonight? Are you out there? Is that not true? Man, can you imagine taking a boy and sitting him down and saying, hey, listen, there are girls out there that will completely undo your life. Boys need to hear that stuff. Sugar and spice and everything. My foot. All it takes is one. Verse 27, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Nope, his clothes are going to get burned, and probably his face and his chest and everything else. Can you walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving, yet when he is found, he must be restored sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Sexual sin, unlike any other sin, you can be a thief and steal for food because you're hungry, and you can be forgiven and make restitution for the bread you stole. You don't sin against your soul. But when someone sins a sexual sin, the Bible says you're sinning against your own soul. Isn't that weird? You're sinning against your own conscience in a way that's different. You say, well, Pastor, I thought God judges all sin the same. He does judge all sin the same. He does. But not all sin affects us the same. Sexual sin seems to destroy us more than any other type of sin. It writes something on our soul. Marriage counseling is full of all of the escapades of the past. When marriages go messed up sideways, whatever happens, the past resurrects. And so often, A promiscuous life comes in to destroy. Listen to this now. Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 27. I was looking out the window of my house one day, and I saw a simple-minded young man who lacked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman. He was strolling down the path by her house at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. The woman approached him, dressed seductively and sly of heart. She was the brash, rebellious type who never stays at home. She is often seen in the streets and markets soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around him and kissed him. And with a brazen look, she said, I've offered my sacrifices and just finished my vows. It's you I was looking for. I came out to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with colored sheets of the finest linen imported from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink our fill of love until morning. Let's enjoy each other's caresses. For my husband is not at home. He's away on a long trip. He has taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return until later in the month. So she seduced him with her pretty speech. With her flattery, she enticed him. He followed her at once like an ox going to the slaughter or like a trapped stag, awaiting the arrow that would pierce its heart. He was like a bird flying into a snare, little knowing it would cost him his life. Listen to me, my sons, and pay attention to my words. Don't let your hearts stray toward her. Don't wander down her pathway, for she has been the ruin of many. Numerous men have been her victims. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death. Man, give that to your 13-year-old kid. Don't you love how direct the Bible is? Proverbs chapter 7, that is. And so pick it up now, verse 11. So he said to her, now, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Verse 12, therefore Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And the men were lying in wait, staying in the room. And he broke them off from his arms like a thread. And Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of a loom. Stop right there. Okay, it started out with ropes. And then, you know, these kind dry ones. And then this kind of rope and that kind of rope. What a weirdo, first of all. Isn't he getting it?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapters 13 through 16 of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, we wish to bring to your attention two things. First, this series, Staying Fit for the Master's Use, is now available on DVD. Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD is yours for a gift of any size to the work of Real Radio. To learn more, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Second, we'd like to hear from you. You know, it doesn't take much just to send us an email letting us know how Real Radio is contributing to your growth as a believer. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Send Us a Message. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that contribution and receive Pastor Jack's Staying Fit for the Master's Use on DVD, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.